Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
As I was driving back and forth from Florida, I noticed billboards. Lots of billboards with the religious notations on them. Like, one each day of us will face God. Are you prepared? Jesus is coming soon. God did not send a committee. Warning, Jesus is coming. Jesus is real. Jesus lives. Jesus saves. Repent. Jesus is coming soon. So when I got home, I decided to look up on Google some of the best billboards. And these were some of those that they came up with. If you ever look it up on Google, it'll give you the 24 best billboards about Jesus. In fact, when I was doing it, I found our pastor's name in there. I don't know where he fit into all that, but it came on at that time. So this morning, let's talk about this Jesus. Some even in the press are saying, we need a Jesus moment when seemingly things are not going well. I heard that the other day. Well, we need time each day to grow to know this Jesus, and this morning I want to take time to talk about this Jesus. It was to remove, eliminate, do away with the dark, sinister, mysterious shadow that Satan had cast in regard to God, that Jesus came to live among us and men. His earthly mission was to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recover sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. He exercised the greatest tact, gave thoughtful attention. He was never rude, never needlessly spoke a severe word. He didn't censure human weakness. His life was one of self-denial and thoughtful care for others. It was to redeem us that Jesus lived, suffered, and died. The immaculate, spotless Son of God took upon himself the burden of sin and the terrible enormity of its separation from God. It was these that broke the heart of Jesus. Jesus was the medium, the channel, and the avenue from which the Father could pour out his infinite love upon a fallen world. Price paid for our redemption, the infinite sacrifice of our Heavenly Father in giving His Son to die for us, should give each one of us an exalted, glorious, lofty conception of what we may become through Christ. Yes, we can become sons of God. We are fallen, yet connected to Christ, and we undeniably, without doubt, can become worthy to be called the sons of God. The more we study his character in light of the cross, the more we see mercy, tenderness, forgiveness blended with equity and justice. We've all had this question. Do you want to be changed from sin to holiness? Then, if you do, then there must be a power working within. That power is Christ. He said, unless we are born from above, receiving a new heart, new desires, purposes, and motives, leading to a new life, we will not see the kingdom of God. To all of us, there's one answer. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He is the one who connects fallen man in his weakness and helplessness with the source of infinite power. There is no true excellence of character apart from him. We need to contemplate, consider, reflect, ponder the sacrifice made for us, along with an appreciation for labor and energy that heaven is expending to reclaim each one of us. Contemplate our communion, the spiritual union, the close association, the love of God and His Son through the eternal ages. Think of the elevation and the extension of all our power through all eternal ages. What a grand, powerful, prodigious incentive for one to give one's heart to our Creator and Redeemer. How do we come to Christ? Peter said, repent, include sorrow for sinning, and turning away from it in the heart. Otherwise, there'll be no real change in our lives. We can lament, we can bewail, we can bemoan the suffering rather than the sin. Examples are Esau and Balaam. They acknowledged their guilt, but there was no genuine repentance for sin, no conversion of purpose, no abhorrence of evil. Their brothers, Judas, Pharaoh, you know their stories. Lament, expression of grief, weeping, yes, but no sorrow for sin itself. When our hearts yield to the influence of the Spirit of God, the conscience is quickened, the discernment of God's law and its depth illuminate the secret chambers of our hearts. Conviction takes hold of the mind, the heart, and there's a sense of righteousness of Jehovah is felt, and we feel the terror of being in appearing in the in our own guilt and uncleanness before the searchers of hearts. We see the love of God, the beauty of holiness, the joy of purity, and we long to be cleansed and to be restored to the communion of heaven. David, he made no effort to palliate, to reduce, or to excuse the intensity of his guilt, or to make his offense seem less serious. No desire to escape judgment. He saw the enormity of his transgression. He loathed his sin. It was not for pardon only that he prayed, but for purity of heart. He prayed, have mercy, purge me, create in me a clean heart, cast me not away, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. This kind of repentance is beyond the reach of our own power to accomplish. It's obtained only from Christ, the source of every right impulse, the only one who can implant in the heart enmity against sin. We, who in our hearts long for something better than this world can give, will recognize the longing as the voice of God to our souls. Ask for repentance, and when the light from Christ shines in our souls, we shall see our souls. Ask for repentance. We shall see how impure we are. We shall discern the selfishness of our motives, the enmity against God, our righteousness as filthy rags that only the blood of Christ alone can cleanse us from, the defilement of sin, and to renew our hearts in his likeness. When we are touched, affected emotionally, we will hate our selfishness, abhor self, and will seek through Christ's righteousness for purity of heart. That when we're in harmony with the law of God, and will be in harmony with the law of God and the character of Christ. You know, the purity of Christ will make apparent unhallowed desires, infidelity of the heart, impurity of the lips. We will detest, we will loathe, we will dislike intensely ourselves as we view the pure, spotless character of Christ. When we see our sinfulness, we should not wait to make ourselves better. Come to Christ just as we are. Beware of procrastination. Do not postpone the work of forsaking your sins and seeking purity of heart through Jesus. In this world, there is uncertainty and there's shortness of life. There's a terrible danger, not sufficiently understood, in delaying to yield to the pleading of God's Holy Spirit. He says, behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Go to him with your soul all stained. Throw open your heart chambers to all the all-seeing eye, exclaiming, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. when coming to Christ, be earnest, persistent, unrelenting, determined, as if your earthly life were at stake. Study God's Word prayerfully, especially the life of Christ, and the law and the great principles of holiness. Without these, no man shall see the Lord. As you see the enormity, the extent, the atrociousness of your sins, do not become despondent, downcast, unhappy, or glum. It is you that Christ came to save. He is wooing, seeking our affection by his tender love. We, his erring children, your heart will be melded with tenderness and repentance when you understand the infinite sacrifice made in our behalf. You know, the warfare against self is the greatest battle that was ever fought. Whatever draws us away from God must be given up. Material wealth, possessions are the idols of the many. The love of money, the desire for wealth, is the golden chain that binds many worldly honor. Worldly honor is the desire of many. Selfish ease and freedom from responsibility is the idols of others. Keep in mind, you cannot be one half for the Lord and one half for the world. You know, Jesus is the ultimate reality checker. He's the ultimate optometrist and the ultimate ophthalmologist to fix our eyes for a better vision. You know, someone has said that money is like seawater. The more you drink, the thirstier you become. In Luke 12, 16 through 21, Christ tells a parable of a rich man who had plenty. And what did he do? Well, he pulled down his barns, he built bigger ones. He said he would take ease, eat, drink, and be merry, not thinking about others or tomorrow. Never once did it come to his mind that he might share some of his bounty with the less fortunate. The really important thing was taking care of himself. And that meant getting more and more so that he could build bigger and better and bigger and better and get bigger and bigger barns so he could get more and more and more. He never saw beyond this world. And that was probably normal for a human being. William Barclay tells the story of a young man conversing with one who had been around longer. "I will learn my trade," said the younger. "And then?" asked the older. "I will make a fortune." "And then?" "I suppose I shall grow old and retire and live on my money." "And then?" "Well, I suppose someday I'll die." And then came the question that hit him hard. Jesus said, "Take heed and beware of all covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." So I'm offering you a real pair of glasses this morning. Try them on. When Christ dwells in the heart, you will be filled with his love. Self will be forgotten. Love to Christ will be the spring of action. So each one of us, let's aim at perfecting conformity to the will of Christ. A profession or declaration without deep love will be just plain talk, formality, a ritual, a form, or a custom. When we give all to Jesus, we give up a sin-polluted heart for him to purify, cleansed by his blood and saved by his matchless, unrivaled, incomparable, inimitable love. You know, all heaven is interested in our happiness. They want joy for us, yet the divine requirements would ask us to shun, to avoid, to spurn, to turn away from indulgences that would bring suffering and disappointment, closing doors to the happiness of heaven. The real true joy of life is to have Christ formed within. The question comes in, how can I make a surrender to Christ? You're weak in moral power, slave to doubt, controlled by habits of your sins of life. Broken promises have diluted your confidence in your own sincerity. Do not despair. We need to understand what we need to do is to understand the true force of the will, the governing power of decision and choice. The power of choice has been given to us to exercise. With it, you can choose to serve Him. And when you do, He will then work in you to will and to do His good pleasure. Then your whole nature is going to be under the control of the Spirit of God. Your affections, your opinions, your judgments, your feelings, your views, and your thoughts will be centered and will be in harmony with Him. With this right exercise of the will, an entire whole total change may be made in your life. By wielding up your will to Christ, you partner yourself with His power, and you will be enabled to live a new life, even the life of faith. You see your life filled with selfishness and sin? You long to be forgiven, cleansed to be set free? You need peace in heaven's forgiveness. Money cannot buy it. Intellect cannot procure it. Wisdom cannot obtain it. By your own efforts, you cannot secure it. It is yours as a gift offered by God, without money, without price. Reach out your hand and grasp it right now. A new heart is promised. A new spirit will be put within you. You can't atone for your past sins. You cannot change your heart and make yourself holy. All of this can happen through Christ. Believe that you are forgiven and cleansed, just as Christ gave the paralytic power to walk when the man believed that he was healed. It is so, if you believe it. It is our privilege to go to Jesus and be cleansed, to stand before the law without shame and remorse. You are bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ. Now that you've given yourself to Christ, don't draw back. Don't stay away from Him, but each day say, I am Christ. You're not on probation. You're not proved that you are. You're rehabilitated, changed, converted, renewed, transformed. Just claim the blessings of God, even now, this very moment. His Spirit and grace will help your infirmities. Without, you will not be able to resist evil. Just come to Jesus as you are, sinful, helpless, and dependent. It's His glory to encircle us in the arms of His love, bind up our wounds, cleanse us from all impurities. You need to know that pardon is freely extended for every sin. You know, He's waiting to put that white robe of righteousness on us, stripping away that stained, polluted one. His thoughts are thoughts of mercy, love, and tender compassion. And He will abundantly pardon. Remember, He hates sin, but He loves the sinner. The Spirit invites you just now, come with your whole heart to Jesus, that you may claim His blessing. And remember, we have redemption through His blood and forgiveness of sins, Ephesians 1:7. Draw near to Him with confession and repentance, and He will draw near to you with mercy and forgiveness. If you're in Christ, you're going to be a new creature. Old things are going to pass away. All things will become new. A change is going to be seen in our characters, our habits, and our pursuits. There will be a clear and decided contrast between what was and is now. The character will reveal a tendency to habitual, customary, consistent words and acts. If we are Christ, our thoughts are with Him, and our sweetest thoughts are of Him. All we have to do is to concentrate on Him. We want to bear His image, breathe His Spirit, and do all His will in all things. You know, when we are new creatures in Christ, we're going to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We will follow in His footsteps. We'll reflect His character and purify ourselves who were once proud and self-assertive. Now we become meek and we become lowly in heart. The useless, unproductive, worthless, narcissistic, self-important customs and fashions are laid aside, not seeking outward adorning, but the hidden man of the heart. Duty becomes a delight and sacrifice a pleasure. The loveliness of the character of Christ found in the renewed heart modifies the character, governs the impulses, controls the passions, subdues enmity, and ennobles the affections, casting a refining influence on all around us. When coming to Christ, we need not trust in our works. It is the grace of Christ alone, through faith, that can make us holy. Secondly, we don't earn salvation by our obedience to the law, for salvation is the free gift of God to be received by faith. Obedience is the fruit of faith. Christ changes the heart. We have no righteousness of our own by giving ourselves to Him, accepting Him as our personal Savior. And when we do, then sinful as our lives may become, for His sake we are accounted righteous. We shall often bow down, weep, cry, shed tears, sob at the feet of Jesus because of our shortcomings and mistakes. Do not be discouraged. Even if we overcome by the enemy, we are not cast off, not deserted, not abandoned or rejected of God. Remember, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Pray more fervently, believe more fully, praise Him who is the health of our continence. And you know, the closer you come to Jesus, the faulter, especially the faults that cause malfunctions, the faulter you're going to appear in your own eyes. It will be evident that the vivifying, the life-giving influence of the Spirit of God is arousing you. The less we see to esteem in ourselves, the more we shall see to esteem in the impurity, in the infinite purity and the lovingness of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The more our sense of need drives us to Him and to the Word, and the more exalted views we have of His character, the more fully we shall reflect His image. You know, Jesus chose the sequence of the Beatitudes carefully to represent the order of salvation. The first show, you have been redeemed, saved by His mercy. The fifth shifts from the God Word to the human side. I get up from my knees to share the mercy learned in the fifth, to share with my neighbor, my wife, my workmate. He wants me to have mercy when others fall short or have a need. You know, mercy is more than an attitude, but it's also an action. A story is told of some Jacob Bright coming home from town, finding a poor neighbor in trouble. His horse had met with an accident and he had to be killed. People were crowding around the man saying how sorry they were. How sorry they were. To the one who kept repeating this most loudly, Jacob said, "I am sorry $50. How much are you sorry?" Then he passed the hat to buy the man another horse. For love to be outgoing, it must be outlooking. William Barclay puts it this way: mercy is the reverse of self-centeredness. It is an antithesis, the direct opposite, the reverse of selfishness. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." A life of Christ is a life of restfulness. And you may not have an ecstatic, overjoyed, thrilled, elated, blissful, euphoric, in seventh heaven feeling, but there will be an abiding, peaceful trust. Consecrate yourself to Him in the morning. Make this your very first work. Surrender all your plans to Him. Then day by day, your life's going to be more and more molded like Christ. Don't look to yourself. Do not let your mind dwell upon self. Look to Christ. Let your mind dwell upon His love and His perfect character. You know, to be transformed into His likeness, we need to love Him, copy Him, and depend wholly upon Him. Jesus says, "Abide in me, come unto me, and I will give you rest." You know, it's Satan's constant, continuous, unremitting, perpetual effort and allurements that exact a powerful and often dangerous attraction, diverting our attention from Christ, and thus preventing the union and communion of the soul with Him. He, Satan, uses the pleasures of the world, life's cares, perplexities, sorrows, faults of others, and or our own to divert our attentions. You know, we should not be making self the center and indulge our anxieties and fears as to whether we'll be saved. Talk and think of Jesus. Let self be lost in Him. Leave yourself in His hands, and then He will be the conqueror. We need to watch, strive, and pray that nothing may entice us, tempt us, persuade us, lure us to choose another master. When Christ abides in the heart, the whole nature is going to be transformed. Then, if Christ is dwelling in our hearts, He will work in us both to will and to do His good pleasure. We shall work as He worked. Show, display, reveal, exhibit the same Spirit. Growing up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, Ephesians 4:15. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, whose life ended when he was executed for seeking to put an end to Hitler's madness, writes, "When Christ calls a man, He bids them to come and die. There is no cheap grace, no bargains. So this morning, let's not be a bargain hanger, hanging around the church, wanting the pearl, the treasure, but only at a discounted price. Some have given all. Others are merely weeds, masquerading as weeds, as wheat in the Lord's garden." You know, to become genuine, we need to be willing to abandon all for the kingdom of Christ. When the love of Christ is given special protection, safeguarded in our hearts like sweet fragrance, it can't be hidden. Its holy influence is going to be felt by all we come in contact with. We will do all we can to make the world a better place for our stay in it. There will be earnest, serious, intense, deep longings that those around us may behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. When we devote ourselves to unselfish effort for the good of others, we are most surely working out our own salvation. We will carry, take, bring, convey our religion into everything that is done and reveal to men the Spirit of Christ. So in the humblest duties and the lowest positions of life, we may walk and work with Jesus and carry our religion to everything that is done and reveal to men the Spirit of Christ. So we should work that others, by seeing His good works, they may be led to glorify the Creator and the Redeemer. If the love of Christ is in the heart, it will be manifested, clearly seen, and be obvious in the life, and you will not have to worry what the world will think of you. Unconscious influences may just start waves of blessing. Remember the old man from George Street, a recent sermon presented here by a Strong Tower radio representative. That person from George Street didn't worry himself about success. In fact, he did not realize how far-reaching the effect of his witness. He just went forward, doing as faithfully what God's providence assigned, and his life was not in vain. Jesus said of the Old Testament and of the New Testament, "They are they which testify of me." And if you would become acquainted with the Savior, study the Scriptures. It is what we meditate, contemplate, ponder, think, consider, deliberate, and deliberate upon that gives us character, attitude, tendency, feelings, and strength to our spiritual nature. As we meditate upon the perfection of the Savior, we shall desire to be holy, transformed, and renewed in the image of His purity. Before you open your Bible, ask for enlightenment, explanation, illumination, clarification of the Holy Spirit, and it will be given. Jesus taught His disciples how to pray. He directed them to present their daily needs before God and to cast their cares upon Him. He was often found in prayer, a suppliant, begging, pleading, beseeching, imploring, entreating petitioner, seeking fresh supplies of strength. If Jesus felt the need of prayer, how much more should feeble, sinful mortals feel the necessity of fervent, constant prayer today? You know, praying in the name of Jesus is something more than a mere mention of His name at the beginning and the ending of a prayer. We should pray in the mind and the spirit of Jesus, believing His promises, relying upon His grace and upon His works. Our lives must be like Christ's life between the mountain and the multitude. If we thought and talked more of Jesus and less of self, we would have far more of His presence. We must each gather about the cross. Christ and He crucified should be the theme of contemplation, of conversation, and of our most joyful emotion. We should trust everything to the hand that was nailed to the cross for us. As we draw near to Jesus and we rejoice in the full of His love, our doubts and our darknesses will disappear in the light of His presence. The Apostle Paul says, God hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. When you need help, you can say, I found it in Jesus. Every want supplies. The hunger of my soul is satisfied. And the Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the voice of God to my soul. In every one of us is a letter sent by Jesus to the world. If you are a true representative, an envoy, a delegate, an agent, a spokesperson, a diplomat, an ambassador, it may be that through you that someone will be led to understand something of His goodness and be one to love and to serve Him. Christians are set as a light bearers on the way to heaven. We are to reflect to the world the light shining upon us from Christ. And if we are good ambassadors, we shall make His service attractive. No gloom or sadness, no murmuring and complaining, no gathering all the unpleasant recollections, memories and memoirs and reminiscence of the past life, its iniquities and disappointments, talking and mourning over them, or we will be overwhelmed with discouragement. The pictures God would have us present, the Son of God leaving His Father's throne, His triumph in our behalf, His glory, the fallen race uplifted from the pit of sin. These are the pictures of God would have us contemplate. Don't breathe doubt. Every doubt reacts upon us and could be a seed that germinates in the life of someone else or others. It is very important that we speak only things that will give spiritual strength and life. Let our conversations be of Him who liveth to make intercession before us and before the Father. If we are to imitate Him, we should be full of earnest purpose. Have a deep sense of personal responsibility. Repress levity, flippancy, jokiness, no boasterness, gaiety, no rude jesting. If Christ reigns in our hearts, we will want to follow His example, ministering to others, cheerful and having smiling faces. We should love and respect one another. Humility and self-distrust should be cultivated, and there should be tenderness, kindness, kind-heartedness, and sensitivity regarding the faults of others. All this will be kill off the narrow selfishness and make us large-hearted and generous Seventh-day Adventists. Jesus is our friend. Don't be fearing and borrowing trouble. Let's not let our minds be dwelling on something disagreeable, unpleasant, distasteful, offensive, blinding our eyes to the many things that demand gratitude. Do not let the perplexities and the worries of everyday life trouble your mind. Blur, obscure, darken, dim, and cloud your vision. Jesus said, "Ye shall have tribulation, but be of good of cheer. I have overcome the world." The author of our being, the preserver of our life, the one who formed us in his own divine image, provides for our necessities if we but trust in him. Let us keep fresh in our memories all the tender mercies, the tears wiped away, the pain soothed, the anxieties removed, the fears dispelled, the wants supplied, and the blessings bestowed, knowing that the Lord has done all of this for us. And by, the gates of heaven will be open, thrown open, and from the lips of the King of Glory, the benediction will fall on our ears like the richest music. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.